back to another episode. In the meantime, with me, Sierra, and our lovely co-host,
Jessica. What's up, y'all?
So welcome back. Another week.
Yes.
And as you guys know, we always start with current events. See what's going on in the world today.
Yes.
What you got for us?
So the first thing, of course, first of all, I hope everything's doing well. So, you know, we're still in this interesting COVID pandemic situation, and a lot of schools have came to the agreement that it'll still be online at home. So one of the interesting things was the Chicago School District, I find out this morning, has put out a new rule saying that kids at school, they are not allowed to wear their pajamas, and they are encouraged not to be in bed during school hours, but instead be at a desk or a table, whether it's in the kitchen or whatever. And a lot of parents are not happy about that. So...
I have a lot of thoughts.
I have mixed emotions. You know, I guess like you were saying, I do understand it because, you know, I personally wouldn't want my child just getting in the habit of, you know, being at home all day lounging around. Like, that's okay. I don't want him to lose his momentum, I guess. So I understand it. But at the same time, you should make it punishable if my kid is in pajamas. Like, I don't think it needs to be something that's strictly enforced. I can understand it being encouraged, but don't, like, get the child in trouble if they don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Especially the fact that it's my house.
I feel like there are a lot of things that we could be worried about. A lot more things when it comes to educating our children during this time that we should be trying to work out the kinks in. Mm-hmm. So for you to focus on what they're wearing during a webinar, doesn't even make sense. I know for my college courses, they're not worried about, it's not fine print that I need to be dressed appropriately for a webinar.
Right.
So why are we doing that for the children's education? And then, like, these kids these children are about to be at home, online learning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do something for the parents to help the parents adjust, mm-hmm. to help the parents learn how to be there for your children, support your children, teach your children, because now the teacher's gone. So mm-hmm. guess where those questions are going to? Whoever's at home.
Right.
So how about we have a webinar and teaching our parents on how to teach our kids? Because we send them to school. We go to work and we send them to school.
Exactly.
So let's focus more on that, right, rather than what they're wearing on the Zoom meetings and stuff. This is new. This is different for everybody. But I just feel like the focus should be more on the education side rather mm-hmm. than what we're looking like right now.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I don't know why the focus is off. It seems like everyone's just trying to get by. And they're thinking, oh, this is going to be temporary. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to focus on. But we don't know how long this is going to continue.
Right.
So while we're in it, let's make the best of it. And like you mentioned, let's make sure they're getting an actual education. Like, mm-hmm. let's focus on that.
Yeah, we're not punishing for the lack of education. We're not punishing for anything except for what they're wearing.
Right.
Like, the focus right. could have been somewhere else. It should
somewhere
have been somewhere else.
Especially, like, it sounds like, oh, I don't like micromanaging. That sounds like that micromanaging stuff. I don't like mm-hmm. that. Like, mm-hmm. let me do me. It's already a struggle. And shout out to all the parents out there. I haven't crossed that bridge yet, but I do understand from the outside looking in that it's already an adjustment to parents. Mm-hmm. And you're just putting more pressure, more stress on them to make that the focus area.
Yeah.
Than if they're actually getting an education.
Yeah. Really change, shift focus. That's what really needs to happen. Just shift focused. It doesn't make sense, but okay.
Well, my heart goes out to Chicago. I'm glad this isn't a national thing. Hopefully after this gets started, maybe they'll see that it's not working out and they'll change it. But yeah,
and not to say that it won't, like, students won't be dressed and stuff. Yeah. I know me and my household, everybody is up no later than 9:30. Get mm-hmm. your day running, clean, make breakfast, get dressed and everything. Because when I get off work, you need to be ready to go.
Right, right.
So if I get off work and I rush to change my clothes and I'm waiting on you to get dressed and you've been here all day.
Right, yeah, that's a problem.
Huge problem. But, so I'm like, it, it just, it's sad that some things need to be said. I guess it's like the caution directions for like a blow dryer. Don't use while in the shower.
Right.
Like, yeah. You really had to say that?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, different strokes for different folks. So I guess it had to be said because there was probably a couple kids that came up with their pajamas on, or the little boys with no shirts on in elementary school or something. But okay. But I mean, yeah, I just feel like the focus should be on
the
educating
stuff.
The right, children, yeah. Not stressing what they're wearing.
Right.
Y'all don't be stressing what they wear when they go to school.
Exactly. Like, you would think that the focus area would be correct with this whole thing happening. But no, y'all still want to focus on the wrong stuff.
Because I know I went to my children's school plenty of times and seen kids looking like they wearing pajamas. Like,
right. And don't nobody care. Don't nobody care. They're just happy that they're there.
Right. But yeah, just shift the focus. That would be a lot more appreciated.
Right. Right. So I know that also you have mentioned about the Lebanon explosion.
Yeah, in Beirut there was chemical explosion, started with a small fire and tore up the city. Oh my goodness. Over 300,000 people don't have their home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to say over 150 people were found dead. And they're still looking for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened on this past Tuesday. And it's just, it's really sad because looking into it, there was a ship in Russia that was carrying these chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And they just so happened to have to stop at the port. And they couldn't travel any further
mm-hmm.
to get rid of the chemicals like they were supposed to. But this was over 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been sitting there. Like, knowing that any small thing could cause this explosion, and it's been sitting there for over 6 years.
Wow, what do they say? It was like a floating bomb or something?
Yeah.
It's like, nobody cared?
Right, and they're saying, like, you know, just it was a lot of red tape on why they couldn't keep going and stuff, and they had to stop there. But I don't know, it just makes me think of, like, all the things that happened, the little things that we do instead of making sure everything is safe and we can just move forward, or just making sure everything is safe, we kind of just do what we can to just get by.
Yeah.
And just, we're going to, it's just sitting there. It ain't going to hurt nobody.
Keeping everything, yeah.
Over 300,000 people don't have a place to stay right now. And that is crazy. And just watching some of the videos, there was a couple on a vacation or whatever, and they were just having dinner, and they see the fire, and next thing they know, this huge explosion happens, and you see they get knocked off their feet, and they weren't even that close to it. So I'm like, I just couldn't imagine going through any of that. So my prayers are definitely going out to that country.
Right.
That was just really crazy.
It is. It is. That's very devastating. I hope it's a learning lesson for them and for all of us to not let stuff like that sit.
Yeah, but I mean, and just think about it. How many oil ships have just been sitting out in the ocean, and then you have this huge oil spill nobody's really doing nothing about?
Right.
So this happens so often. We're just not doing anything. And
And unfortunately, sometimes it takes an incident like this before we're finally like, okay, maybe. Yeah, thanks.
Maybe. Maybe that wasn't a good idea.
Right. Oh, but in other news, one thing I do want to bring up. I don't know if you heard the new song that got released. I want to say it was either yesterday or the day before yesterday. Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion came out with their song WAP. I'm not going to say on air what WAP stands for, but it's a very sexually explicit song. And I wanted to bring it up because it's been a lot of controversy around it. It's very sexually explicit song. On one hand, you have people saying that, oh, black women were taken you know, back control of our bodies and we're being sexually free. And then you got on the other hand, people are saying, look at how little girls are perceiving this, though. Like, this is really what you want to put out. So I don't know if you've heard it, but it's just a sexually explicit song. The visuals are actually pretty cool. I like the visuals because the visuals are like in a colorful house and all this stuff in different animalistic rooms is one of those. Like 50 Shades of Grey, like you got a tiger room and all this extra stuff, but it's definitely been the hot thing that everybody's been talking about. Even like church people and just everybody's been talking about this.
Well, not everybody, so, because I have not heard about it
at all.
No.
Wow. It's like number one on iTunes, number one on number one everywhere. Twitter, number one everywhere. It is the hottest song in the world, not the country, the world right now.
I feel like my face looks so confused. I have no idea what you're talking about. I haven't heard about it. Yeah. I don't know. I guess if I were to speak off of like people saying the little girls are looking up to it, I don't know. I feel like as parents, mm-hmm. we have bigger control. I won't say absolute control, but we have the majority control over what our children hear and see and stuff. So I don't know, because my children don't look to celebrities mm-hmm. and entertainers as their role models.
Right.
So I don't have that problem. I don't want to say it that like it sounds super rude, but yeah, so I know I can't control everything, and my daughter probably will hear that song from somewhere.
Yeah.
But
it's on TikTok.
Yeah, but I mean those aren't her role models.
Right. And so, she understands that.
Yeah. And that, so if we're going to say, oh, the children are looking up to this as their role models, why are you allowing your children to look up to that? And then, and then it just should just open up for conversation. Like, and I think it's very important to have the sex conversation mm-hmm. with your children anyway. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a certain age where you should start having that conversation. But I mean, my daughter's 13 years old, so we have those conversations, and it's an open conversation to where we can, what do you hear? Because I don't have control over everything that she hears and she encounters, because it's not just me and my village, but because my village is so strong, mm-hmm. her role models and the people she look up to and the people that she wants to be like mm-hmm. are usually within the village.
Right.
And so for her to hear something from somewhere else, then it's like, oh, now I have questions. Guess who I'm going to go to? I'm not going to go to that artist. I'm going to go to my mom. I'm going to go to my goddad. I'm going to go to aunties or something like that. But that's just how close-knit our family is.
Right. And no, that's really good. That's definitely something everyone doesn't have, but that's really good that your child recognized that and she's, you know, encamped in such a positive, impactful way. But yeah, the focus has definitely been more about how it would be perceived by the children, because, you know, us as adults, it doesn't bother us because we know right from wrong. But then children, it's like, and their main thing was, like, if you saw it, like, the video is, like, super captivating. It's a catchy song. I'm not going to lie. It's a very catchy song. And the video is, like, you know, so colorful in this mansion. You know, kids would gravitate more towards it just because of the video. Because they're like, oh, this is a nice mansion. And, oh, the animals, not understanding what they're talking about. They're just into the video. So then it subconsciously gets into their head and they're just singing the lyrics, not realizing what it's talking about just because, oh, I love that video. Like,
I mean, I know growing up, I was the same way. Like when I think of some of the songs we were singing when we were kids, I was a different child. So mm-hmm. my song, I remember watching the video, Mary J. Blige, I'm Going Down. And I was like, I'm going down, like 8 years old. Where am I going down to? Like, who
hurt me? Right. You ain't even going through nothing.
But I get it. And because I do know, like, okay, I remember being like, oh, that video was like, it was just spiraling or something. I'm gonna have to watch it again. But she sang her heart out, and I was like, I'm going down.
You felt it. You felt it.
And not paying attention to it. And like, there are some songs that I listen to now, and I'm like, what was I listening to?
Right.
What in the world was I singing?
What was I going through? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. but I know for me, I didn't have anyone that I could have that conversation with when I did have questions about videos that I saw and stuff. I remember, you remember the picture Little Kim?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she had like,
she was bent down, not, you know, like squat down.
Yes.
Yeah, the famous one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I remember seeing that picture, and I didn't have anybody to ask questions to be like, whoa, what is this?
Right.
So I went to like my cousins and stuff, but they didn't know.
Right.
So now me raising my children, it's like when they see something, then their first thing is, mommy, what's this? Mm-hmm. Mommy, what? What?
Because you have made sure you've established that trust so that they can come to you.
Yeah. So I feel
very important.
So I'm always on the other end of the spectrum when people are like, we need to watch out for our children. This isn't okay for our children. You're right. It's not okay for our children. So why are you allowing your child to watch it?
Right.
So I know as for me and my house,
mm-hmm.
I control what they see, what they hear, what they eat, what they drink. I control that. And then when I allow them to go out, guess what? You don't get to go out with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I can't control it, but because when there are things happening, you're still over there. And then you're going to wait till later to ask me those questions.
Right.
So if I have you surrounded by people who have similar morals and values and ethics and background and everything else, then I know that when you have that question, you're going to immediately ask. And then the people who give you answers to those questions, it's going to be similar to mine. And right. then when you come back, because my children tell me everything, mm-hmm. when you come back and you're like, oh, I had this question, they said this, this is what I think, what's your viewpoint or opinion and stuff, then we can have another conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We're not all going to agree. So there's going to be times where people say stuff that I don't agree with that were told to my children. But because we have this conversation, me and my child, I'm able to really help mold them and grow them. So now they say, okay, mommy's opinions may not always be right. Somebody else's opinion may not always be right. But at least I have a full picture of what's going on.
Right.
But that's my tangent.
No, and that's really good. Like, I know there are parents out there who are more vulnerable to this type of stuff, who just can't be around, whether it's due to work or whatever their dynamic is. So
yeah,
my heart definitely goes out to them. But long story short, if I'm just giving my personal opinion, you know, there's a time and place for everything. That song is very catchy. Just speaking me personally, I do like the song. I probably shouldn't like the song, but I like the song. I'm a music person, and it's very catchy. If you haven't heard it, I wouldn't be in a rush to listen to it, because if you listen to it, if you watch the video, you might be like, oh. So, yeah, I mean, don't listen to it.
Because
it might get you like it got me.
I'm not the one that follows the, if everybody's talking about it, I'll wait till they stop talking about it.
Yeah, because even if they are talking about it, it's not really because I'm following the hype, but like, it really is a catchy song. But it's no rush, but it is.
I felt no pressure at all.
But it's definitely something that's trending and going on, so I definitely wanted to mention that. But yeah, it's just number one everywhere. Whether you're for the song or against the song, you're totally valid to how you feel about it. Just be mindful. Sierra spoke more of from a parental standpoint of things like that. You know, me, I'm just speaking from a single mindset, and just me personally, it's a catchy song. But even still, I have to, you know, I can't listen to it too much. Like, I listened to it, I liked it, okay, cool, it's great, especially when I'm working out. Like, yeah, I love stuff like that, but you know, I have to keep my limits. That's another part of boundaries. Like, you got to know your limits. So yeah, it's a very catchy song, but you monitor what you do, and that's your thing.
Yep, I monitor everything, because not everything's getting into my spirit, mind, not
exactly. Not everything. But I guess, you know, the last thing we want to mention, of course, Breonna Taylor. Still, we're not letting go of that, even though Black Lives Matter isn't really trending anymore, which we knew it was going to happen anyway, but
it's still trending in my household. Still got my sign up. Oh, so I actually got my son this book. It's called I Know My Rights. And I was like, the one thing that I kept seeing is so important for us to know the laws of the land. Like, mm-hmm. You said there was a 15-year-old that got arrested for not doing our homework and stuff.
Yeah, she's been locked up for 2 months for not doing her online schoolwork.
Yeah. And to me, that's like mind-blowing.
Very.
And I'm just like, okay. But I'm like, you know, we have to know the laws of the land. Mm-hmm. We have to know what the rules and regulations and violations and everything are. We have to educate ourselves. So I got this book for my son, 7 years old. And so he'll come and he'll read it to me at night, and it's really cute. But it's just, know the Bill of Rights. Know what your own rights are.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we walk on caution tape so much on, mm-hmm. oh, you can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do that. Can't go here. Can't. Like, we need to know what we can do. We need to know, like, what was it? Oh, there was a while ago, there was a man recording a police officer, and he was like, you can't do that. You're going against my rights or something. And he's like, no, according to the law, I can record. And he's like, well, you can't record on this property. I'm not on the property. I'm not on this business property. I'm on the sidewalk, and the sidewalk is the state's property. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if we don't know that,
right,
we would be all kinds of lost. Like, we need to educate ourselves and our children to know exactly what we can do. Well, right. We do have a right to do.
Right.
Like, so.
Because it can actually save our lives.
Yes. Yes. Education is so important. It's so important to educate yourself. And that is the most dangerous thing. And that's why they try not to educate us.
Yep.
Try not to educate us as Black people.
Right.
Try not to educate us as women. But, you know, we have to educate ourselves. And people are so against, like, school doesn't teach history. School doesn't teach a lot.
Right.
And it's not the school's responsibility to educate you.
Right.
The school just picks up what you already were taught.
Right, basically.
And unfortunately, we lack teaching ourselves. So we send our kids off and we don't teach them. And we're like, oh, somebody else will tell them. No, somebody else is not going to tell my child what the laws are. Somebody else is not going to tell my child what right and wrong is, because somebody else is not going to give my child morals, values, and ethics. I am.
Right.
It starts at the home. So I'm going to educate my family,
mm-hmm.
educate myself, educate my family so that they can go out and educate, because love my daughter. She asks questions. So when she goes to school and they say something that goes against what she was taught, mm-hmm. then she's like, can you explain this? I'm like, that doesn't add up to me. Right. Because you just said this, I read in this book this, and now you're telling me something completely different.
Right.
And now that forces somebody else to educate themselves so they can give you the correct answer. Or it just forces them to lie. But I like to look at the positive stuff.
Right.
Hopefully they'll educate themselves.
right. And it's like, in a way, stuff has just never changed. Because, you know, Black people used to be punished. Slavery days, you're not allowed to read. If you knew how to read, ooh, it was a problem. Why? Because we're really a threat.
Mm-hmm. Educating, when you can say, when somebody says, oh, you can't do that. Oh, show me. Where does it say that I can't? Because I can show you where it says I can.
Exactly.
According to you, the Fifth Amendment, line B, paragraph 1-2, it says that I can. Like, but I don't know. I just think that it's super important for us to educate ourselves. I was really excited to get him that book. He was not excited, but he likes reading it, though. And it had, like, Black people on the cover, so.
Yeah.
Support our own.
Yeah, one of the profound things I've learned, Sarah Jakes Roberts actually said this in one of her sermons. She said, You know, speaking of that, a lot of Black people as a whole, they just dismiss the laws of the land. They dismiss the rules because they don't like it, or they feel, you know, whatever. But like you said, it's still very important to educate yourself. And what she was saying was, if you want to change something, you must first respect it. You cannot respect something if you don't have any knowledge on it. So before you can change anything, whether it's an environment, a law, you must first have to respect that. In order to respect it, you need to know what you're trying to change. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, knowing the laws can save your life. You don't need to get educated just so, you know, it means you're conforming. Knowledge really is power. You don't like something, educate yourself. Why don't you like it? What is this? What is this? So that you can change it. You have to have a respect for it. Respecting something doesn't mean you like it, but mm-hmm. you do have to have a respect for it.
Yes.
Like, and just a side note, even in the Bible, the Lord says, keep the laws. It doesn't mean that you're going to do everything right all the time. Keep my commandments. You're not going to get it right all the time, but those commandments are in your heart. You keep them. You know, keep the laws of the land. If you don't like something, okay, at least you have the knowledge on it and you know what it is. You can keep that so that you can use that as a foundation to make a change if you feel like there needs to be a change or whatever the case may be. So
I'm going to have to look, because I think it says, know the laws of the land, keep my commandments.
Right. Yeah. Keep my commandments.
Know the laws of the land. Educate yourself.
Yes.
So again, know exactly what's going on around you. Mm-hmm. That's why, like I was saying earlier, like, I feel like it is important for us to keep going on with like the what's going on, different news alerts and stuff. So mm-hmm. we know exactly what's going on. But at the same time, like, where do we stand?
Yeah.
So we did not forget about Breonna Taylor. Sorry, y'all.
That was the doorbell.
We did not forget about Breonna Taylor. We did not forget about Sandra Bland. We did not forget that Black Lives Matter, because right. Black lives do matter.
Right.
But until we educate ourselves, it's going to be another victim and another victim and another victim and another victim.
Right, exactly.
And we will not be a victimized generation. We will not be a victimized group of people. We will be us.
Right.
And we will live and we will prosper. We will not be trying to continue to survive anymore. We will thrive in everything. So, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, we're definitely going to keep educating ourselves. And we thank you for tuning in again. Again, this is our first official episode for season 2. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, our topic today will be releasing other people's expectations.
In the meantime.
Ooh, stay tuned, y'all. Hey, y'all. Welcome back. Again, we have hit our second part of our podcast in the meantime. Again, this is your host, Jessica, along with my co-host,
Sierra.
And our main topic for today, we're going to be discussing releasing other people's expectations. So we definitely had a lot of, you know, reflecting time. We talked about previously when we updated y'all, you know, I came back from a vacation. We've learned a lot of things, spent a lot of time with ourselves. I've gone through some changes. I know you, Sierra, have gone through a bunch of changes. So, you know, this is definitely a season where we're quote unquote coming into ourselves, year of establishment. We're slowly but surely getting revealed and redefined. So, you know, we definitely thought it was important to really talk about releasing other people's expectations, because this is very relevant to us personally, and we're pretty sure we're not the only ones. And releasing other people's expectations, it can be other people's expectations of you towards something you're doing, whatever it is, just releasing other people's expectations, because someone's expectation of you is not your responsibility to meet. So you don't have to carry that pressure. And that's something that I'm recently realizing, you know, I don't have to hold on to that. So I just think that is very, very important. And I feel myself getting free. You know, like I mentioned, I think I said it our last episode, I released a bunch of things on that vacation, not realizing that other people's expectation was what I was releasing, mm-hmm. that I was holding on to. So I just think that's amazing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it reminds me of a conversation we had previously where you were just saying, you know, not being in church, you felt a little freer, and it's because you were living up to the expectations of what people viewed you and what mm-hmm. you thought people wanted and everything when you were going and in the building of church.
Yeah.
And then without that, you just felt like you could breathe a little bit and be yourself.
Right.
And it's such a weight lifted mm-hmm. when you realize that man's expectations for you aren't necessarily who you are.
Not at all.
And for me, a lot of times what I noticed growing up is man's expectation has nothing to do with God's purpose in my life.
At all.
And so since that's where I'm headed and the direction that I'm going and what I try to live up to, uh-huh. I live up to God's expectations of who he says I am, not man's. So it's a lot easier to navigate life sometimes. Right. It's a lot more confusing because I don't know exactly mm-hmm. who that woman is yet, but I know who she's not.
Exactly.
And so when people are doing things or even having conversations and I'm like, that doesn't align up with my purpose. So I'm gonna see you guys later.
Right. Exactly.
Cause I will see you guys later real quick.
Right.
And it's not a knock to anyone. It's not to put anyone down or anything like that, but that's just not where God has me. It don't line up with my purpose
at all. And it's amazing how much clearer my purpose is to me stepping away from the church, because like I've always sensed my purpose, but you know, this certain image or the way I have to be, it's like it made my purpose very blurry. And you know, it's been instructed to me time and time again, stop following the trend. I'm trying to create a trend in you and this and that, but it's so hard when it's, you know, it gets blurry when you're holding on to all these things from other people on how they think you should be. And I never forget, I think it was last week, I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm going to leave her nameless because I don't know if she wants to be out there, but I was talking to a friend of mine and she said, you know, first of all, I haven't really seen her much at all during the quarantine. So when I saw her, she was like, okay, so this is Jessica's quarantine personality. This is Jessica's real personality. And I told her, I was like, this is how I always am, but I feel more free because I'm out of church. And then she was like, yeah, but you have to take responsibility for that. You presented yourself a certain way in the church. So of course, this is how people are going to look at you. And I was like, you're absolutely right. I did present myself that way because I thought that's what I had to be. But you know, I told her this quarantine has allowed me to realize this is still who I am. I could be who I am. So going back in a church setting, whenever that takes place, when things open back up, you know, I'm still a woman of God, but at the same time, I am me. I'm not hiding from me anymore. I'm not, you know, choosing to be in how other people think I should be based on how I look or based on how I act. I know we talked about my demeanor, you know, that's going to be changing as well. It's just a lot of things that I have just been holding on because I felt like I had to, you know, be this woman in church and I have to look this way and act this way when really it's not really who I am. So this quarantine has freed me in a lot of ways. And in the process of releasing other people's expectation, I've also released people, period. So that's like the side that doesn't always feel good, you know, especially, you know, another friend of mine, elevation requires separation. So it hasn't always felt good, but I'm at peace because, hey, I'm me. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting to the point to where I'm okay if you don't like me. I'm really okay with that. I'm really okay. I'm not holding anything against anyone, but it's a beautiful thing where it's uncomfortable as heck. Because I'm like, yo, I'm not this person. I don't want to quote unquote flex, but it's uncomfortable.
It gives you the opportunity to build up your confidence in who you are. So that way, when we do go back, when we do come back together, even though people's expectations are still going to be there, because it doesn't just disappear just because you finally realize who you are.
Right.
People are still going to expect you to be who you were.
Yeah.
And it's just like going back home. You have that moment where it's like, oh, yeah, I remember when. And then when I hear that, I remember when, for me, it's a click, like, hold on, yes, I remember when, but I need you to see where I am right now.
Right, right.
Like, we had some great times, laughed. I was goofy. Sometimes I was a little slow. Mm-hmm. But who I am now is a lot more right. different. And that's the woman and person I need you to accept. Not who I was.
Exactly.
Except who I am now. And that, just me setting that boundary, gives other people the opportunity to grow with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, hey, I made some mistakes. I was wrong, and I knew I was wrong. Or I believed in something that wasn't right.
Right.
And now I believe in something different. But that gives you the opportunity to say if you're going to accept me or not, or if you're just going to be like, oh, no, you're a hypocrite because you said this, and now you're doing this. I did say this, and I did believe that, and now I've educated myself, and I have a new understanding. So allow me the space and opportunity to grow.
Right, exactly.
So we can grow together, or you can just stay. But right. It's like, people exactly. still have their expectations until you're confident and bold enough to say, this is where I am.
Right.
This is who I am. So, I don't know. And I like that your friend did say, like, you have to hold yourself accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's what's really important. Like, we really have to hold ourselves accountable
mm-hmm.
and say, you know what? I did do this and I did say that, which led you to believe this is who I was.
Right.
And I continued to do it. Because for me, people can say something once.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have that relationship with you, it doesn't necessarily mean too much.
Right.
But when you continue to say and do,
mm-hmm.
and your actions and words align, then that's kind of who I believe you to be.
Right.
So, yes, I said and did things that made you put me in this category of a person. But now I am saying and doing something different.
Right.
And I will acknowledge that I messed up. I will acknowledge that I was wrong. But now I'm finally walking in my truth.
Right. Like, exactly.
So please accept me. You know,
yes, and I didn't take offense to it at all. Like, as a matter of fact, I was like, thank you for seeing my growth, mm-hmm. thank you for seeing my glow up. I'm glad you noticed that. If anybody pointed it out, I'm glad you pointed it out. I'm glad you noticed the up and up I got going on.
Because mm-hmm.
you're right. People's expectations are not going to change, and we hear that all the time. Your situation's not going to change, your perspective's going to change. So mm-hmm. me knowing who I am, I have that foundation. No, I'm not saying I'm doing everything right. This is still a journey. But at the core of who I am, I have a better understanding of who I am. And if you choose to, you know, if you see something that's off, if you make the choice to not address me about it or get to know me, then I'm not holding on to that expectation as well. You know, if you feel some type of way, and I'm very grateful that you told me this, go talk to the person. And if I've done all that I can do and you choose to not, you know, acknowledge or we talk about it or get to know me for me today, then like you said, either we can grow together or we got to separate. And that's just where I'm at right now.
And it's a two-way street.
It is a two-way street. Yeah.
Very, very, very. And I know I keep telling you, like, if you feel some way, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if somebody came and rolled their eyes at me every single time they came and looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel some type of way and I don't say anything, I'm wrong.
Right.
So I can't be like, oh, I don't go over there because they got a problem with me. You're the one that feels that type of way. You right. need to be bold enough to say something.
Right. What are you going to do?
So we can walk in exactly who we are, but if we still not fixing the issue, then we're still reverting back to who we were.
Exactly.
But exactly. I think it's so important to just be able to grow and understand, and to be aware of other people's expectations of us.
Mm-hmm.
But in building relationships, have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, you view me and you see me as this person, let's have the conversation. So one, I can let you know if that's who I really am or not.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we just building relationships and being open and having those conversations and being able to grow with, or be like, oh, we're just two different, going two different ways, and that's fine.
Right.
We can still be in the same area and going in two different directions.
Right.
Like, we don't have to just cut everybody off necessarily, but if you need to cut people off for you to grow, then don't let nobody hold you down.
Yeah, that is true, Jessica. It's not. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, respect doesn't mean you have to like them at all. I can respect where you are right now, and that's that. Like, I'm me and you're you. I can respect that. It doesn't have to be no animosity or no funny stuff. It's like, why can't we just have that respect? So at the core, you know, like you said, only worry about yourself. I can have a definitely respect for you, but yeah, I can't control what other people do. All I can worry about is what I do. If I'm at odds with my sister, I go to them. If that's the case, still don't work out, okay, I'm releasing you. Like, I'm still gonna have a respect for you, nothing holding nothing against nobody, but I'm releasing you, and I'm okay with that.
And I think we have a hand in people's expectations, but we can't control other people's expectations of ourselves. And as we grow as women, to be able to say, like, this is the part I played in your expectation of me, but this, I can't live up to your expectations, and I'm not trying to.
Right. Not anymore, at least. Yeah. Coming to that understanding, not anymore.
But we have to be able to have the conversation, so which means we have to build some type of relationship. And if that relationship is just a I respect you relationship, then even in our respectful relationship, you should still be able to open up and have a conversation.
Right.
I look at, like, celebrities or entertainers and stuff, and I'm like, you know, I don't necessarily like your music. I don't like some of the movies or roles that you played in, but I respect your art.
Yeah.
Like, I respect the fact that, you know, you're acting and you're making a name for yourself. I always do my best to find something respectful or something that I can respect from someone. Even controversial Donald Trump, you know.
Yeah.
I respect his consistency.
Yeah.
Like, throughout his entire life, he's been controversial. Yeah. And I can respect that.
Yeah, I respect him as a businessman, but not as a president.
He's been bankrupt, so how good is his business?
Oh, that's true. He has. Honestly, his yes is his yes, and his no is his no, and that's what I'm trying to get. So I do respect that part. Like, your yes is your yes, and your no, even though it's BS, but, like, hey, you, I got to give it to him.
I mean, at the moment when he says it, yeah, but then he lies so much and changes his answer.
Yeah, it gets caught up in other variables, but I do want to be as bold.
I can respect his boldness.
Yeah, his boldness, exactly. So, yeah, basic respect, I feel like it's important. Like you say, you don't have to agree with everything to have a basic respect.
And I don't want to live in a world where I agree with everything. Because I don't feel like that gives either sides the opportunity to grow. Like, we get stuck because we just, not say we get stuck, but we can't see as much because we're so busy just agreeing with each other that, oh, there's something else. There's more to life. There's more to this story. There's more out there. But we're just agreeing with each other and put ourselves in such a little box. So
right.
I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be in that type of world and environment.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are some expectations other people had of you that you feel like you have released?
Oh, my favorite. That I am... It's my favorite because I think it's so funny. Like, oh, you know, you don't have any issues and you just deal with things. You're so calm. And I'm like, oh... Yeah, that's because, one, it's because I didn't learn how to deal with my emotions, so I suppressed everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not know how to show that I was angry, show that I was sad, show that I was happy. Like, I know how to put on a face for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody else is crying, I know how to wrinkle my face up and feel a little, make it look as though. But, people are like, oh, you don't deal with anything. Yeah, I deal with a lot. I wasn't raised to express that. So please get to know me more to know that I do go through things. I do deal with things. But on the other side of that too, like, one, I wasn't raised to express myself in that way. that other people are so used to. Mm-hmm. But now that I do know how to express my emotions, and I'm still getting the hang of it, you know, mm-hmm. but now that I do know, not everybody gets to see all of that.
Right.
Because it's not for everybody. When I'm super excited and happy and God's been doing so much for me, yeah, I want to shout that from the rooftops. And when I'm struggling, the flesh part of me is like, ooh, I don't want people to see that. There are times that people need to see both. There are times that not everybody needs to see all of your wins all of the time. Mm-hmm. Not everybody needs to see all of your struggles all of the time.
Right.
You have to find that balance. And God gives you the wisdom of knowing who to go to. Like when it's testimony time, that's time for you to tell your testimony. Share.
Yeah.
And through that, you kind of go through the emotion. That's why I loved, like, back in the day, you'd have testimony services and stuff. And I loved that as a kid because people would be like, so excited, this is what happened. And then they start, and they're like, this is what happened, I'm so glad, but let me tell you how it started. And then they go, they start talking, they get really sad, they start crying, and then they talk about how they overcame, and then their sad tears turn into tears of joy. And I'm just so confused with all these emotions in like mm-hmm. 20 minutes.
right.
But it was just really beautiful, like, to see that roller coaster of emotion that relatively quickly. But it's just like, I didn't see that mm-hmm. Monday through Thursday. I got to see that first Friday of the month in testimony service time,
right.
You know, so I didn't see everybody going through their struggles all the time. Sometimes you did. And sometimes you do have to wear that. Sometimes you do have to let people know, you know, I'm having a tough time right now and I have to accept that. But, sometimes you do have to know at that time, but then other times not everybody needs to know.
Exactly. Okay. Right.
But that was one expectation of, you know, you don't go through nothing. I used to be really upset because a lot of people would say that you don't go through nothing. You don't have to deal with nothing. And I'm like, no, I do. But I felt like I had to prove that I dealt with stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I had to prove that I was going through something.
Right.
And I had to let that go. And just really, again, when I built my relationship with Christ, he gave me the discernment to know when is the time to share, when it's not the time to share. When is it time to be vulnerable, when it's not the time to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And to accept that I need to be vulnerable mm-hmm. because that was not something that I did very often. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was man's expectation that I was like, I'm okay.
It's interesting that you said that, especially for like testimonial service. Even one night I was listening and everybody had these amazing testimonies of these things that happened to them. And the whole time I knew my turn was coming and I was just sitting there like, Lord, I don't know what to say. Like, I ain't really gone through nothing that these people went through. So I prayed. I was like, Lord, take over. Give me what to say. What do you want me to share? You know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of the testimony. So, Lord, you tell me what to share. I do have a testimony, but you tell me what to share. I stood up and I was just like, I just love God. I just love God. You know, I look at him as my father. I'm like, you know, my dad is my dad, but only God can be called my father. And our relationship is just getting tight. And, you know, later a couple people came up and were telling me, thank you so much for that testimony. It's so much negativity. It was just refreshing to hear somebody say just how much they love God. But I'm sitting up here thinking that, you know, other people's expectations, oh, I got to have this story and mm-hmm. this got to happen to mm-hmm. me. And then it was like, you know, I just love God in a way that I didn't love him before. And yeah, that's my testimony. I love him. Love mm-hmm. him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's my testimony.
Yeah.
And it blesses people.
It will. Once we get out of the mindset of comparing ourselves to other mm-hmm. and we start being obedient to what God gave us in the first place.
Right.
Like, we belittle ourselves so often.
Yeah.
And I know that's something that I deal with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so quick to be like, people be like, oh, you did such a good job. You know, it was okay.
Yeah.
No, we had to.
I say thank you.
Right. Right. But even women to women be like, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful. And we're looking for something. Oh, you're gorgeous. What are you talking about?
Right. Oh, we really got, we have a bad habit of that.
But we do that. We're so quick to compare and try to make someone else feel more important or something. And
you don't want to stay humble, like, oh,
there's you know, one thing between your humbleness turning into just you ending up putting dirt on yourself. Like, you're beautiful. No, you're beautiful. So are you saying you're not beautiful?
Right.
Did you not accept that? Or,
right.
Or, oh my gosh, you sound so amazing when you speak. Oh, no. So you don't sound amazing? You didn't just practice for 2 weeks to give this speech?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just practice for 3 months writing this speech?
Right.
Like, we do that, and it's just like just throwing dirt on us to kind of even the playing field. And it's like, no.
Right, because that sounds like not only do you have to release other people's expectations, but you have to release your expectations that other people have on you.
That you accepted.
Exactly. Like, you're thinking, oh, they might think I'm stuck up or I'm a little cocky if I just say thank you. So let me downplay it and tell they're beautiful so I don't look like, you know, I'm this person. But really, they could not even be thinking that. They just, you know, they just complimenting you. Like, you can just say thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So sometimes other people's expectations are not their expectations. It's your expectations that you think, you know, they're going to look at me this. I expect you to look at me like this. So let me make sure I beat you to it and be this way before you can even have time to think otherwise.
But that has to deal with what was put on us in the first place.
Exactly.
That as children growing up, we were, for me, I was expected as a child to be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, who's teaching me that I have a voice?
Right, exactly. Nobody really taught me.
Who's teaching me how to speak? Who's saying that, yes, children should be seen and not heard. What that really means is there's a time and place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand you're a child and you have all this energy, but I want you to save that energy up when we're at the store out in public, because I don't need you to exert that energy at Walmart, okay? I need you to exert that energy when I take you to the park.
Right.
But nobody explains that.
Right, no, not at all, but it's
just the stuff that we carry on, like, oh, you're so, we tell little girls, you're so pretty, and then when a child says, oh, I'm pretty, oh, she got an attitude, she thinks she's cute, look at her, she thinks she's cute. So now I'm growing up thinking that it's bad to think that I'm cute, even though you raised me and told me that I was such a cute little kid.
Right.
So we take that on.
I'm only allowed to be cute when you tell me I'm cute. What?
So now what do? I look for somebody to tell me I'm cute so I know it's acceptable for me to be cute at this place in this time.
Right.
With this person.
Exactly. Exactly.
I feel like I did a lot of rants today.
No, that's great. Hey, welcome to season two. We hitting y'all hard with the season two with the vulnerability. It's definitely appreciated. Never a rant at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this has just been a continuous journey, you know, whether people got expectations of you at your job or your business or whatever you got going on, even certain expectations as a parent, like, it can go into every realm.
Mm-hmm. I know that's a tough one. I always use myself as an example, but like, just with my mom's like everybody else's expectation of her raising her children, where, oh, she's got the perfect kids and her kids don't get in trouble. And and so she carried that. So when her 16-year-old finds out that she's pregnant, that damaged a lot of people's expectations.
Right.
And it was like, oh, do you have perfect kids? Because your teenager's pregnant. Like,
right.
And then even so, I'm aware of that now when I'm raising my children. Mm-hmm. And it's like, people do have that expectation. Oh, your children are so well-behaved and they're well-mannered. And you know what happens when we come home? Yes, ma'am. Did you clean up? Yes. What is a yes? Who is a yes? What? No. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. That's what we say. That's what we do.
Right.
And I teach them here so that way when they go out in public, they understand. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Exactly.
And it's Miss or Mister. And it's Miss until we find out you're married. Then it's Mrs.
Right.
But
exactly.
You know, everybody has that expectation of, you know, of who we are, and a lot of it has to do with how we present ourselves and how we carry ourselves, and what we say, if that aligns up with what we do.
Environment too.
Yes.
Because if you come from this certain environment, you know, for example, preacher's kid, you know, you got this expectation because you come from this. So before you can even have a chance to show yourself, you already got this expectation mm-hmm. because of where you come from. So environment, sometimes it's stuff you can't control.
Yeah, my dad is a musician, he's a beautiful, talented musician. And back home, the expectation is, oh, so what do? I know you sing. I know you got a voice in you. I seen your daddy. I know who your daddy is.
Right.
What does
right.
that have to do
what
with me?
What that got to do with me? He's just a vessel.
I read
that
book.
Brought me here.
Right. But yeah, everybody walks into the room with expectations and stuff. But if we walk into the room with our expectations of ourselves, then we can help set the tone of the rooms that we walk into.
Right. That's true.
Because we have the opportunity to say, like, people go to, when you go to events, you go in with expectation. But then if you're going to an event that I do, I know that when I walk in the room, I'm going to change your expectations. Because yeah. I get to set the tone.
Right, 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 right. And I really like what you said earlier about how, you know, you should still be aware of the expectations, because there are some instances where, you know, especially those close to you who you trust, they hold you to this standard. You know, they have this accountability towards you. So some people in your circle, some people's expectations are needed mm-hmm. because it can be like a growth moment. Like it doesn't go outside of who you are, but I do have this expectation. And sometimes we get distracted or whatever. And sometimes it takes that accountability person to be like, hey, remember we was like, this is the bar right here. Don't mm-hmm. forget it. You know, some stuff can be helpful.
Yes. Yeah, and I think some people see things in us that we don't see in ourselves, mm-hmm. good and bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, if I'm able to have the conversation of what are your expectations for me, and I see that you notice the bad in me, then it's, oh, I got something I need to work on. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Thank you for that, because I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
And if that's in me, God, take it.
Right.
But at least now I'm aware of it.
Right.
And then you see something great in me that I don't see in myself. And it's like, oh, you said I'm at level 20 mm-hmm. and I'm only working in a level 10. Like, I thought I made it, but there's more for me. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Now I know that I need to do some more work. There's more work yet to be done, but I know that I'm great enough to meet that mm-hmm. if it aligns with God's purpose.
Exactly. 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 And if it's your trusted circle, so
mm-hmm.
yeah, releasing other people's expectations. Know you, know thyself.
To thine own self be true.
Exactly. So we thank y'all for tuning in with us and rocking with us, you know, and we will see y'all next week. Stay blessed. Holla.
Me pray on me, so pray for me. Tick, tick, wait on it. I'm keeping down my body count. I'm finessing like a trap bounce, yeah. Cause every day above ground is a blessing. I done leveled up now, pure panoramic. None of my fears can't go where I'm headed. Had to cut them loose, now I'm loose, break the limit, yeah. I'm about to blood on the sinner. The rain and thunder gon' fall, gon'